Hello once again and welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Patrick Donges. The weather is once again in the headlines today as the suburban city of Moore, Oklahoma, just outside Oklahoma City, was struck yesterday by a massive tornado. Even as recovery is underway, strong storms are again moving into the area, creating another dangerous situation in an already reeling community. Joining us on the show today to talk extreme weather and take your weather questions is meteorologist Jason Goff of News Channel 13, WNYT Albany. An Albany native, Goff joined the News Channel 13 First Warning Weather Team in 2004 after attending school at Auburn University and the University of Maryland. His first on-air forecasting job was in Corpus Christi, Texas. That began in 2001. His forecasts, along with the rest of the News Channel 13 team, are broadcast each day on WAMC. And today we welcome Jason Goff back to Vox Pop. Jason, thanks for coming on.
Hey, Patrick, thank you. It was last minute, but always excited to be able to come in and hang out with you guys.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So you can call us at 1-800-348-2551. Again, that's 1-800-348-2551. There's also many ways to get in touch with us online. You can post your questions and comments on the Vox Pop section of our website, on our show page at wamc.org/voxpop. You can post on our Facebook wall at facebook.com/wamcradio. You can tweet us at @wamcvoxpop. That's the @ and @wamcvoxpop, one word. And you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org, and we'll be checking those throughout the show. Jason, tell me about this tornado in Oklahoma. Why was this such a massive event?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's May, and right. It's Oklahoma. I mean, unfortunately, that's kind of the way that things go. Now, obviously, this doesn't happen every year, but the ingredients were in place. They had a lot of, warm, humid air coming up from the Gulf of Mexico, plenty of upper-level support and plenty of support even at the surface to get things going. And, in fact, you were just talking about another severe weather day in Moore in the suburbs of Oklahoma City. There was an upper-level disturbance I was looking at this morning. I thought, oh, man. Because even last night, the thought was that the severe weather was going to be shifting farther to the east and south. So places like Dallas would be under the gun. They're under a tornado watch right now.
Right.
But this upper level disturbance, there's still, if there's enough juice around this time of year, any kind of energy will take advantage of it and go to town. And unfortunately, it certainly did yesterday. I kept hearing a lot of references to the May 3rd, 1999 tornado outbreak that happened there. And this storm that hit Moore was actually bigger. I saw a graphic where the paths did intersect from
right.
99 and yesterday as
right.
well. But, it's a horrible thing. I have friends that are from Oklahoma. One of my good friends, a fraternity brother of mine, grew up just east of Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. And, folks out there are used to severe weather, but, it at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you're used to. And, hearing some of the reports out there of people saying, hey, if you were not below ground, you're not going to survive.
There's only so much you can do to prepare
right.
for an event like
That's
that.
That's right. That's right.
So obviously not uncommon in Oklahoma for tornadoes to come through this time of the year. We saw this morning some of the stations giving kind of a primer, if you will, on Tornado Alley, why tornadoes converge there. And I found out today that the U.S. is pretty much the epicenter of tornado activity in the world.
In the world. Yeah. Oh, yeah, by far. Northern Texas and into Oklahoma and other states, too. Florida, of all places, you might not think that, but Florida actually ranks third in tornadoes in the United States, and they typically have to deal with that in the wintertime, January, February. It's just because of geography. At its basic level, you have warm, humid air from the south and cold, dry air from the north, and, there's a lot more to it than that, obviously, but just because of the way that the United States sits with the proximity to, Canada and the Gulf of Mexico, that's just the way that it goes. Now, I will also say, though, that, most 90% of the tornadoes that hit in the United States are small, weak. They're on the ground for less than a minute.
Right.
Unfortunately, the larger ones that do show up, they tend to stay on the ground longer and they do a heck of a lot more damage. So, at any given time, an EF4 or an EF5 tornado is rare, but as we unfortunately know, they do happen.
What's the EF stand for?
The EF is the Enhanced Fujita Scale. It used to be Fujita, named after Ted Fujita. And then they actually enhanced it and tweaked the thresholds a little bit. And they determine what a tornado's strength was after it's gone through. It's not like a hurricane where it's tied directly into the wind speed. They'll go and they'll look at the structural damage and say, all right, well, this was caused by and whatever, an EF2, an EF4, whatever.
Right.
So preliminary reports of the Moore, Oklahoma tornado were an EF4, but you know, it may end up being a 5. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter.
The 5 being the top of the scale.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
1-800-348-2551. You can also check us out at WAMC.org/VoxPop. And let's go to the phones. We've got Merle in Argyle. He's got a question about the heating degree days. Merle, welcome to VoxPop.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. The question is, I moved up to this area in about 2004, and I've sort of been recording heating degree days since then. And besides 2004, the average is always below normal or less than normal heating degree days every year since then.
Yes.
And the question is, how often do you guys as meteorologists change what the mean is? And what were the average highs and lows actually changed? We know that 100 years ago, 200 years ago, it was colder because of cities and everything else.
Right.
But things are sort of steadily getting warmer. Do you guys periodically say, all right, now the normal is?
Yes, we do. We don't generally, Merle, mess with heating degree days. That's something that the energy industry is really concerned about, obviously. It's still something that we track. The National Weather Service updates their what the so-called normals, the averages, every 10 years, and they're 30-year averages. So we actually just did that 2 years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so prior to 2010, we had gone by the 30-year average of 1970 to 2000. And then once we got into 2010, now that adjusted from 1980 to 2010. And you're right, the temperatures did go up slightly. Snowfall actually went down almost 3 inches, believe it or not, for, again, officially for Albany. But I did not check the heating degree
days. You said three inches below normal for the snowfall or rainfall?
No, the snowfall average went down almost 3 inches.
From what?
It was 62.1, and now it's 59.4.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So, but you're still talking the they may not do heating degree days, but you're still saying an average low of today is blank. The average high is blank.
Well, and
that's just
the temperature.
Yeah, those are just the temperatures. But, of course, the heating degree days are tied to the temperatures
with
a base of 65. So, you know, we could adjust them accordingly. But, again, in my particular discipline in meteorology, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to heating degree days because
I do because I use oil and I like to know how much I'm using opposed to last year and how cold it was.
Absolutely.
I do use it quite often.
Understood.
I mean, every year. I just like to know.
Understood. Yes, sir. I'll check into that and see if they've actually adjusted the heating degree days. Again, it's tied into temperature, so they probably did.
Okay. Can I have a follow-up question?
What do you got? Quick one, Merle.
All right, quick one. How small is a wind twister? I don't know what you would call it. These small twisters that run through the field. How dangerous are they? Because I walked up to one once.
Well, I wouldn't recommend you do that, but it's, you know, there are all kinds of little eddies that can form little dust devils and things like that. They'll generate some winds. You'd be more concerned about it throwing something, you know, toward your eyes or something like that than you would be about the wind.
Oh, okay. So you wouldn't have to worry about it too much.
Yeah, stay away from the dust devils.
Yeah, stay away from those.
Don't walk into it.
Right.
No, that's right.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks so much, Merle. So, I mean, I've seen those little dust devils in the field. You see them every once in a while. They can get pretty tall, and you can still kind of be around them. But is that essentially a baby tornado? Is that or
well, they're well. physically, yes, I guess you could say that, but they're born of completely different things. So a lot of those things, the Dust Devils, you see them a lot in, especially in the real hot climates. It's just the heat differential that gets those things going. But, you know, they can get going for sure. But there are other mechanisms, you know, water spouts sometimes are formed outside of severe weather. If you have a lot of just real calm wind from the surface up to a couple thousand feet, real high humidity, you'll just get these little water spouts that'll kind of
the water spout
hang out.
Being out in the ocean or in a body of water, you'll see kind of looks like a funnel cloud or a tornado out there.
Okay. Right. So yeah, there are relatives to tornadoes that are born other than from severe weather. Sure.
Okay. Great. Well, I think it's time for us to take a break here. We will be right back with Jason Goff. 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Field Goods, delivering local produce to community sites like Troy's Collar City CrossFit. Fresh foods from small farms, field-goods.com. Ashokan Center, Olive Ridge, New York, a classroom in the wild helping schools, organizations, and individuals reconnect with nature, history, and the arts. AshokanCenter.org. Kingsway Community, Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and service to area seniors since 1975, including memory care and more, caring in the family tradition, 518-393-8800. The Blue Rock Restaurant, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, Chef Chris Ramirez creating new American cuisine and handcrafted desserts. Wine and beer from local to worldwide, live jazz Fridays, theBlueRockRestaurant.com. And Art Along the Hudson, art celebrations in Hyde Park, Newburgh, Ossing, and Peekskill artist receptions, music and theater, ArtAlongTheHudson.com.
All right, and we are back on Vox Pop with News Channel 13 meteorologist Jason Goff. 1-800-348-2551 is the number to ask your weather questions or chat about the extreme weather out in Oklahoma we saw yesterday. And we have Pamela checking in on Facebook, asks, last winter when there were a couple of cases of thunder snow, I wonder if a tornado could form in a snowstorm. Could it happen?
No. A simple answer to that, no. But thunder snow is born completely of dynamics. That is, you have all that energy in the mid and upper levels of the atmosphere that are helping things out. Obviously, there's not a lot of heat around in the wintertime. So as far as getting, you know, a tornado to show up during a snowstorm, no, okay. You'll just get, you know, you'll get some lightning. And there are some intense storms that'll come off of Lake Ontario, something I've never seen, but I would like to during some of those really big lake effect events. There are some pretty wicked lightning strikes and all of that.
I remember that last year there was they called it a supercell that came through or 2 years ago, the Pittsfield area. And I remember being up in our Berkshire Bureau and having there be thunder, lightning, and hail, and it looked like snow kind of whipping past. So
if there are enough dynamics, if there's enough energy, you know, you typically would see that in real heavy snowfall rates, you know, 2 to 3 inches an hour, and that's when you can really get into some of that stuff.
That's incredible.
Yep.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We've got Bob in Saratoga Springs. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. Bob, you are on with Jason Goff.
Hi, it's actually Kim.
Oh, I'm sorry,
hey, Kim.
Wrong button.
That's fine. I was calling because I was wondering, do like all the weathermen call each other when there's something big going on? You know, like, if you don't really know. So, like, do you call, like, Bob and be like, hey, Bob, is this what's happening? Or do you all just stick to your own?
Oh, you're talking about within the station?
Or not, well, I guess Bob is, like, no, like, within the...
Or within the market,
like weather community. Yeah.
Do I call Steve LaPointe and ask
Steve
him what
Apple,
he thinks?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't. No,
you don't?
I don't. And I don't mean that to sound negative at all. I know Steve. He's a nice guy. Both Steves, Caparizzo and LaPointe, they're both really nice guys. They both know their stuff. But I don't particularly care about what they do, and I'm sure they don't care about what I do either. Now, internally, we're talking all the time. You know, with any kind of a big weather event, be it, today is our first severe thunderstorm watch of the season. So as soon as I'm done here, you know, I'll be going in and getting stuff squared away that way. And, you know, so if there is a big deal going on, a big snowstorm or whatever, we're constantly in contact with each other within the station. But as far as outside of the station, no, we have other things to do.
So sometimes it's like things are just a little bit different here. And like, all right, check this channel, check that channel. And it's like, I wonder.
Yeah, well. You know, and it, we again, I don't particularly worry about what they forecast, and I'm sure that they don't worry about what I forecast either.
To each our own,
that's
Kim,
right.
I think
right,
is the motto. Hey, thanks so much, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you.
All right, so that was Kim in Saratoga. Now we go to Bob in Saratoga Springs. Bob has got a question about extreme weather. Bob, you're on with Jason Goff.
Yes, let me know if you can hear me. I have you on speakerphone. I can put you off speakerphone.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Basically, with all the weather we had, like those super tornadoes and so forth, do you think your opinion on whether we're headed for a real bad weather situation, like catastrophes increasingly happening?
Well, I can answer that in two different ways, Bob. Basically, you know, as far as the tornadoes and the severe weather and all that kind of thing, you know, being more extreme, I don't know. To be honest with you, if a tornado that hit more yesterday was stronger than one that hit more in 15-19. So that's difficult to say. Now, as far as what you're talking about as it relates to human activities, specifically our activities here in the United States, you know, at the end of the day, if you've ever taken martial arts, here's a little analogy for you. The best way to not get hit is to not be there when the punch lands. And with the population continuing to grow, people continuing to sprawl out, in places like Oklahoma City is a perfect example. You know, there was a time when Oklahoma City was a relatively small place, and now you have people that have been moving there, and they're building outward. They're radiating out from the city of Oklahoma City. And with that, being in the so-called sweet spot, if you will, with respect to the potential for, big, bad tornadoes, you know, the more people that are in the potential paths of these things, then yes, there are going to be more casualties and more, and there's going to be more property damage and all of the things that follow on down the line from there. But as far as actual weather, you know, saying is it worse now or is it going to be getting worse? There are all kinds of theories out there about that I'm not going to get into. Climate change and global warming are kind of a whole different ball game as far as what where we're going with this particular show. But Certainly, the theory is there that with more heating of the planet, there's going to be more energy available and the storms are going to be stronger.
All right. Hey, Bob, thanks so much for the call.
Yes, thanks for the information.
All righty.
So just playing off a little bit on Bob's question there, let's say like you get a movie like The Day After Tomorrow or these movies where it's just one catastrophe after another and it all happens at once in different parts of the globe. Any chance of that happening? Is it slim to none? Is it?
I saw The Day After Tomorrow and thought it was pretty interesting. I mean, I guess, you know, there are always theories out there, and I don't know. I haven't seen it in a while, so I'd have to really look at it again and go, that just can't happen. You know, you never know. I mean, physically, there are things that are just too big to overcome. I mean, there was a time in the 1960s when the United States government was trying to basically choke off hurricanes. The theory was great, but at the end of the day, these things are just too big, and you're not going to be able to do it.
Right. Okay. 1-800-348-2551 or wamc.org/voxpop. Let's go back to the phones. John is in Greenfield Center. John, you're on Vox Pop.
Yes. My question is on your average yearly snowfall amounts. You say like it's 59 inches down in Albany, and you know up here in Greenfield, it's significantly higher. But
yes.
What? How do you guys keep accumulation? I mean, it seems to melt the next day nowadays versus staying around. We used to be able to ride snow machines from mid-November through March, and now we got a few select weeks in January and a few select weeks in February. I don't understand where it's all going.
Oh, so to your question though, how do we keep track of the snowfall?
Yeah.
Well. The Weather Service does that, and there are also a lot of spotters that we have out and about in our community in the News Channel 13 viewing area. and you know, people that know what they're doing, how to measure snow. I mean, we're not submitting any official climate records here, so we don't. If we're off by a tenth of an inch, it's not a huge deal. But the National Weather Service, though, is a different story. They have what they call a snowboard, and they'll actually go outside of the office. I did a story on this a few years ago, so I got to watch them do it. And they have a snowboard, and they stick a big tube in there, and they'll take the tube out, and they will then cap it off, bring it inside of the weather office, and let it melt. That is the liquid equivalent part of it. But, of course, the other part, while they're out there, they actually do measure the snow, and they just keep a tally of that on through the snow event, if it's if it's a 2-day event or whatever the case may be. So, you know, they have plenty of time to measure snow before it goes anywhere.
How big are one of those snowboards? How do they? Is it
the snow? I think I'd have to look it up because I don't use one, but I think the official size is like a 3x3 foot white board. It's got to be on a flat surface. It's basically just like a piece of thick plywood in essence, but it's painted white. So that it would reflect off any, wouldn't absorb any heat.
All right.
And it just has to sit in a flat, unobstructed part of wherever. You can put it on a lawn. You can put it on a driveway as long as it's flat and there's no trees or anything like that that's going to impede the snowfall on top of it.
Very interesting. All right. Hey, John, thanks so much for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. And, Jason, you spent some time forecasting out in Texas and Corpus Christi, and I don't know if that's necessarily tornado territory, but
not really.
But you may have seen some extreme weather there. Is there any big storms come through?
Yeah, when I was there for about 3.5 years, there was a tornado that came through, and I will tell you, I've never seen rain like that before. A tornado did come through. I was about 10 minutes behind it, and it did a lot of damage right in the city itself. Did quite a bit of damage at a community college in the city. There were a few fatalities. It was rated at the time. It was an F2, and it was a really wild day. We had a reporter that was out there that had reported on these cars that were in a parking lot and all the windows had blown out from the pressure difference there. Had a couple of brushes with hurricanes, but nothing major. I will tell you this about South Texas. They are way overdue for a hurricane down there, way overdue. So they have not had a big to-do as far as a storm goes since 1970, really.
Which hurricane was that?
That was Celia.
Celia.
Yeah.
In 70.
It was so that part of the country is definitely due. I hope that they escape another 500 years without it, but the odds are going to catch up to them before too long. Probably.
We were chatting for a minute before the show about hurricane season is coming up shortly here, and you said signs point to another not so great season.
Well, yeah, the initial reports at a Colorado State University, Dr. Gray puts out his forecast every year, and the hurricanes forecast for the season are above average, almost 50%, if I remember right, from his take on that. But actually, Thursday, NOAA will be releasing its official hurricane forecast, but it is expected to be an above average season. And by the way, this part of the country, 3 years ago, a lot of people didn't really care much about hurricanes. They didn't think about it. And then we had Irene, then we had Lee, and then, of course, last year we had Sandy.
Right.
So
I
think there are going to be a lot more eyeballs in the United States on the National Hurricane Center and its forecast, because a lot of people live in the Northeast that now care about hurricane season that didn't just a few years ago.
And I'm sure we'll have more information on that Thursday, and I'm sure Jason will have more information on that.
Yeah, we'll certainly keep you posted. And again, the number of storms doesn't really matter. What matters is how well they're forecasted and where they hit.
Right.
And but yes, officially, hurricane season starts on June the 1st, which is, I believe, a week from Saturday.
Fingers crossed for a slow season this year.
I hope so.
1-800-348-2551 is the number. I'm going to take a question from Facebook quickly here. Robert on Facebook, that's facebook.com/WAMC radio, says, we have cellars here in the Northeast. Are they safer than the separate from the house underground tornado shelters found in some southern Midwest states? A number of years back, we had a small tornado pass by us here in Columbia County, New York. We wondered, while in our basement, what if the house came down on us?
No, it's a viable question. I guess there are pros and cons. I haven't really thought about that, but there are pros and cons to both. the pro of having the basement right where you are is that you don't have to go outside if things get hairy in a hurry. But you're right. I mean, you don't have the luxury of being able to, be protected from a house if it were to come in. Now, the thing is, when I went and covered a tornado in Springfield 2 years ago, and I saw a house that had been wiped clean and the basement was fine, but it was amazing standing on this fella's front porch and looking down into his basement. It was like somebody just scooped the house away. I mean, the washing machine was still in the corner. The stairs were intact going down there. So that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. I would suspect, like I said, there are pros and cons to everything. At the end of the day, the most important thing is to get below ground level.
All right.
You can do it.
All right. Well, our host and our senior host and producer, Brian Shields, just walked in and handed me a strong thunderstorm in Albany, Greene, Columbia, and Rensselaer counties in east central New York at 2:26. National Weather Service Doppler radar indicated a thunderstorm capable of producing nickel-size hail, frequent lightning, and heavy rain located near Ravenna and moving east at 20 miles per hour. Other locations include but are not limited to New Baltimore, Valencia, Selkirk, Kinderhook, Coxsackie, and Chatham, and a severe thunderstorm watch, of course, remains in effect until 9 p.m.
Until 9 o'clock,
this evening.
I have the monitor here in front of me. I'm watching. I've just been kind of keeping an eye on the radar. And, that's one storm. It's right on the Albany-Greene County line, getting ready to cross over the thruway. It looks like right down around Coxsackie, which is south of Selkirk there. What is that, exit 21B? These storms today are not going to be numerous, but they're also not going to be any hurry to go anywhere. And so this is something, obviously, that Bob and I will be tracking through the rest of the afternoon and into the night tonight. And it looks like this is going to be one of those deals where the storms are not going to go away after sunset. So could be, a little bit of a stormy night out there tonight as well, although the severe threat should be gone.
So if you're planning a drive up the thruway tonight, maybe better to save a day if you can, or...
Well, it's just like anything else, just keep your eyes to the sky and be careful. Keep your wits about you because tomorrow and Thursday also could be pretty stormy days as well.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to Kate in Chatham. Kate, welcome to Vox Pop.
Hi there. How are you? Thanks for taking my call. I live in Columbia County, and it's been exceedingly dry. I know you're forecasting severe storms, but it's been so dry that I'm kind of amazed. I haven't heard anything in the local weather forecast to indicate that we're in, I think, a drought.
Well, Kate, not exactly. Drought is a word that kind of gets thrown around in the vernacular, just meaning a little bit of a dry stretch. At the end of the day, it takes a long time for a drought to set up, and it usually takes a long time for a drought to go away. The exception to that would be a tropical storm or something like that, one of the few instances where tropical systems are actually good. But right now we are down. Certainly it has been a dry year. We are down about a third.
Yeah.
From our average. But as coming into summertime now, you can get underneath one of these storms like the one we were just talking about that's down around Ravenna. I mean, that might drop an inch and a half of rain in a pretty short amount of time, and then you'll be in pretty good shape. So
we seem not to have gotten our spring storms.
Well, it's still spring.
Certainly
it has been a slow month for us weather-wise. I mean, we start to really look for the potential, at least, for severe weather beginning in late April, early May. This looks to by far be our most active week of the year so far. So I hope that you get some rain down in Columbia County and anybody else
I hope so, too. And I just want to mention one thing, which is that when I listen to a public radio station, I assume that they'll inform people. And one of the things I always hear on the local forecast is that there's a risk of rain, as if rain is unpleasant, inconvenient.
That's just kind of semantics. We're not implying that rain is a bad thing.
It can be inconvenient. My dog's not going to like it the next couple of days, I'll tell you that much.
I feel we need it desperately. I see the Kinderhook Creek seems to be drying up, and other little creeks that I know in the neighborhood look very dry.
Well, Kate, it looks like you're going to get some rain today in the next couple of days. So thanks so much for calling in.
Okay, one more question.
Yep. The National Weather Service in Albany, Brian just coming in, has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for southeastern Albany County and East Central New York, northern Columbia, including Chatham, northeastern Greene County, and extreme southwestern Rensselaer County until 3:15 p.m. That's a severe thunderstorm warning. And again, at 2:30, there was a radar indication of a severe thunderstorm capable of producing quarter-size hail and damaging winds in excess of 60 miles per hour in those locations. And those locations, including but not limited to Coxsackie, Kinderhook, Felicia, Philmont, and Austerlitz now on the...
Yeah, and this is going to be kind of the way that things are going to happen today. Because of the sun that we had this morning and even into this afternoon, these storms are popping up pretty quickly. But, again, they're not a lot of them. I mean, really... that is the only game in town, although there's another storm behind it right in the central Albany County, right, say, to the south of Gilderland, as it looks now, but they're moving to the east and southeast. But that's really it. There's not much else going on anywhere else. So we'll of course, keep you posted on all of that. But not a widespread severe weather day, but certainly any storms that do pop up, just keep your eyes to the sky because they will do so rather quickly, and they do have the potential to bring us some pretty gusty winds as we head through the rest of this afternoon.
And now you said this looks like it might continue through the next couple of days here?
Yeah, next couple of days before we finally sweep things out of here. We'll get back to some sunshine and some drier air, too, for all you folks that are not a big fan of the humidity. The drier air will start to come in as we get through the day here on Friday, and it actually sets us up for a pretty decent Memorial Day weekend.
Fingers crossed for a nice, sunny, long weekend. Yes. We're going to take a quick break here. Once again, you can call in 1-800-348-2551. News Channel 13 meteorologist Jason Goff is here talking extreme weather, the weather happening now, and forecasting into the future. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Performance Automotive Pittsfield, a European and Saab service center serving Western Massachusetts and the greater Albany market for 25 years. Saab, it's not just a car, it's a passion. SaabPerformance.com. Empire State English, Albany, New York, an English as a second language school for adults seeking all levels of ESL training. Open house Wednesday, May 29th, 5 to 7 p.m., esenglish.org. Four Seasons Natural Food Store and Cafe, Saratoga Springs, New York. Locally owned and operated since 1988. Open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 days a week. FourSeasonsNaturalFoods.com. Albany Institute of History and Art, presenting the making of the Hudson River School, More Than the Eye Beholds, now through August 18th, albanyinstitute.org. And Shadowland Theater, Ellenville, New York, live professional theater, starting this summer season with the Bruce Graham drama The Outgoing Tide in the newly renovated Shadowland, May 31st through June 16th, shadowlandtheater.org.
one 800 348 2551. We are back on Vox Pop with News Channel 13 meteorologist Jason Goff. And just to let folks know, because we have gotten a couple of questions, we're talking weather and, you know, with regards to the extreme weather in Oklahoma and some of the weather moving in today to our area. And we're going to save the questions on climate change and global warming for another show. I don't think that, you know, the WAMC has, you know, we're no stranger to those issues, and we will keep reporting on them. And we certainly had, there was a lot of reporting we had done on climate change following Sandy last year and the potential cause effect type thing happening there. So we'll continue to keep you posted on those issues, but just not in the next 19 minutes, I don't think.
Yeah, anytime you want to have me in to talk, and we'll have a show just about global warming and climate change, I'll be glad to do it.
All right, sounds good. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Ellen in Shelburne Falls. I take it back. Let's go to John in Niskayuna. John, you're on Vox Pop.
Hi, yes, my name's John. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, John.
I am interested in not big storms as such as tornadoes and hurricanes, but we seem to be getting more and more of these small micro-type storms. Like, I think they're called derecho's. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, straight-line winds that come through.
Derechos.
That's it. And I was just wondering, is that a phenomenon we're going to see more of, and what's some of the science behind it?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
It's called the derecho. It's a Spanish term meaning straight line, and these are winds that come in a straight line, and they typically, John, they do a lot more damage in this part of the country than any other type of winds. We have not had a derecho in, it's been quite some time. I missed, there were two that hit, but long before I came back to the area, one did an incredible amount of damage in the Adirondacks. In fact, if you go to the National Weather Service Albany site, they actually have the radar images of that thing, and it was incredible. But basically what it is just a big complex of storms that moves. There's not a lot of rotation with it, but it has so much energy, and all of that wind comes down to this ground and it spreads out and it's nasty. That's what hit Washington last year. This was a storm that originated in the Midwest in the morning, and it blew through Washington, D.C. later that evening. So, I mean, people don't even drive their cars that fast. Hmm. This thing was really getting it as it made its way across the eastern part of the country. So, basically, you know, the science behind it is just that, you know, it's a big complex of storms that moves very quickly and has a lot of wind to go along with it.
What's the forecasting like for that? Is there any way to determine, farther out how that might occur?
It's a fairly decent sized blip, if you will, in the model. So the models will pick up on it. The problem is that trying to determine where and when they're going to go is a different story. So at least if we have an idea that one is going to show up, that'll be something that we would actually, you know, obviously track. And once they get moving, like I said, they'll move sometimes up to 70, even 80 miles an hour. That's not even counting the wind speed.
All right, John. Well, hey, thanks so much for checking in with us. Let's go to Aaron in Bloomfield, New Jersey. Aaron, welcome to Vox Pop.
Hello. I had a question about microburst storms. I live in North Jersey, and we had a line of those go through a couple of years ago, and the damage was quite extensive. And my understanding of them is very incomplete, but if I recall correctly, it was described as being similar to a tornado in terms of having very high speed rotating winds, but the winds are pushing down rather than pulling up. And this did occur during a thunderstorm, so I just wondered if you had any comments on how these are formed, how severe the damage usually is, you know, how they're different from tornadoes, that sort of thing.
Yeah, microbursts are a phenomenon that that we see in dying thunderstorms. That's not to say that they don't get back some of their strength, but we typically would see them. We actually had one, I think it was 2 years ago, that hit right around Wolf Road, kind of over near where the Hess station is. I think it was right over in that general vicinity where we had a microburst. But in essence, what you have is you have a lot of really cold, dense air that just can't be supported anymore in the storm, and it just collapses, and it rushes down to the surface, and once it hits the ground, it spreads out radially in all directions. So you have you can get an incredible amount of damage. Typically you can see wind speeds, you know, measured wind speeds with a microburst upwards of 80 to even over at times 100 miles an hour. So microbursts back in the day they used to be called wind shear as it related to airline incidents. Back in the 80s, we had a few different planes that went down, one in New Orleans in 1983, one in Dallas in 1985. This was before the terminal Doppler radars had been installed at these airports, and these winds, in essence, can push these planes right into the ground.
Wow.
So they're not something to mess around with. We don't typically, you know, again, we don't see them around here all that often, but certainly they're not unheard of. And like I said, it was just last year, the year before. I'd have to look back at my notes, but it was right smack in the middle of Colony on just off of Wolf Road, where there was some damage because of a microburst.
Have you been in a microburst, Aaron? Is that why you're calling?
Yes, it went right through the Bloomfield, Montclair, Verona line. And I know sometimes they have people up here from North Jersey that have, you know, summer homes or could come ski or what have you.
Sure.
But it went right through that line, and it pulled siding off houses. It uprooted over 100 trees in the park, half a mile from me. But what was kind of odd about it was that you could follow the way it went, because one side of the street would have a lot of damage. The other side was fine, like nothing happened. But it was quite loud. I mean, I lived in Iowa for a time, too, so I'm familiar with what tornadoes sound like. And it sounds a lot like a tornado. It really does.
Well, so, if it went out in one direction, it may have been something else going on there, because typically a microburst is just, you just want to picture a column of air dropping it from the ceiling, if you will, and that once it hits the ground, it kind of shatters and goes in all directions. So there may have been a little bit something else going on there as well.
Maybe a tiny tornado going through Bloomfield there.
Well, yeah.
Aaron, thank you so much for your call. Thanks for checking in. I was going to ask you, because I remember when the tornado came through Springfield, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. I had a friend there who sent some photos of her house was fine, and then the house just across the street totally demolished. And
yeah.
I mean, is there any rhyme or reason to where that tornado goes, or it just...
They're going to go wherever they want. I covered that storm. I was there the day after that storm, and I saw some of what you're describing there, but I also went into a neighborhood that was just completely devastated. So these storms can skip around a little bit. They can jump up in the cloud and come back down again. But also they can be fairly localized too, depending on the size. Now, the storm, for example, that hit Oklahoma yesterday, this particular tornado that hit Moore was a mile wide.
Right.
So just take a step back and think about that for a minute. Think about how long a mile is. You know, if you look all the way down Central Avenue or just on a straight line, and think about a column of wind that wide, you know, there's not many houses that are going to escape that. But fortunately, those are more in the minority. The smaller tornadoes tend to be, or they're a lot smaller in diameter, and they can skip around. So some houses will be okay, and other ones will not.
And that, of course, is why even with a smaller tornado in a big city metro area like a Springfield, or, you know, it's arguably in Albany, even a smaller tornado would probably do a lot of damage.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Springfield tornado was an EF3 anyway, but which is something that is pretty rare for the Northeast, and you don't want any part of an EF3 tornado wherever you are.
Right. All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. We've got about 10 minutes here, and we'll go to Kathy in Cobleskill. Kathy, you're on Vox Pop.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And boy, I've got some thunder and rain here outside of Cobleskill, just to update your Doppler radar. And I was just wondering, on these, the models that the weathermen like yourself, Mr. Goth, use, do they get updated frequently? Are they constantly sucking in the data?
Yes. Yep, they sure are. It depends. There are lots of different models. Some models, we have a model that we use at News Channel 13 that updates every hour, and which is helpful, especially in a case like today.
But I mean the software. You know, the information that they look at. You know,
oh yeah. So
does that change frequently?
The guts of the models. I wouldn't say frequently. But they do change. They're always looking to, I mean, just like anybody else, you know, meteorologists don't, you know, if something goes wrong, they want to try to figure out why it went wrong to prevent it from happening again. And
yeah.
The fellow that just took over the National Weather Service, Dr. Louis Uccellini, a brilliant man, and he is, one of his things that he is really getting into, I just saw an article about this 2 days ago, and I have not read it yet. It's sitting in my inbox. But it is, he basically said, we're tired of getting our butts kicked by the European model. And so they're going to...
That's what they used for Sandy.
That's
there
right.
There was a European model that showed it making that hard left.
That's right.
You know, and I had never seen that before around here.
Well,
I was wondering how, you know, I said, that's not going to happen. You know, I mean, all the other models are going, you know, that it's going to roll up the coast like it so often had in the past.
Right.
And then this one jumps in and says, no, it's going that way. I mean, it was like a right turn or left turn.
Right. Well,
you know, it was crazy.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was a function of what else was going on in the atmosphere to our west. But
Of course it is.
But at the end of the day, it was the European model that handled it very well. So they are going to be looking extensively at the so-called American model, the GFS model, and trying to figure out where some of these errors have been noted, and we'll go from there, because over the last couple of years especially, the European models have handled coastal systems very well, not only tropical, but also our nor'easters and things.
So what is the difference between that model and the ones that are predicting most of what we know about here?
Well, we're kind of running out of time. I'll say this real quickly. The Europeans are pretty guarded about what they do with their models, which, hey, it's their model. They can do what they want.
Uh-huh.
But what they, in essence, what we try to do is the weakest link in the chain with models is computing time, even though it's staggering the amount of computing power that we now have available, and it continues to grow by the week, it seems. Because there are so many, you know, weather for us is what we would deem an open system as opposed to space, which is a closed system. So with an open system, you have so many variables, you can't keep track of them all. You might be able to put all of those variables in a model, in a particular model run, but by the time the model run is done, the day will have gone away. So
much information.
Yes. I mean, now the forecast may end up being right, but it was for 2 days ago, and who cares about a forecast from 2 days ago? You want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, not yesterday.
Ah.
All right. Well, Kathy, thanks so much for checking in, and I hope you stay dry out there in Cobleskill.
Yeah, well, I'm on the porch, so I'm safe.
All right. Enjoy your afternoon.
Enjoy. Thanks, Kathy. So we're coming into the home stretch here. We've got a question emailed in at that's voxpop@wamc.org, and this is Scott asks, I'm curious why tornadoes seem to reoccur in certain areas like Moore, Oklahoma. They're generally thought to be random, but you wouldn't expect multiple hits in the same spot. And I had heard somebody this morning on one of the networks say it's like lightning striking twice and more with the 99 tornado in this one.
Well, that's, I mean, I don't mean to, sometimes reporters kind of, they do what they do. And
never.
And,
no.
So
embellish a little bit? No.
Well, no, it's not to say they're embellishing, but you're comparing apples to oranges when you're talking about lightning and tornadoes, you know, in the purest sense.
Okay.
At the end of the day, Moore, Oklahoma is right in the heart of Tornado Alley. And it's, you know, 99 and yesterday were not the only two times that there have been tornadoes in Moore. And unfortunately, there will be more in Moore, you know, in the years to come. It's just a function of where they are. Certainly, I mean, I understand the question, and it's a good one, you know, like this random thing. At any given time, your odds of being hit by a tornado, even in Tornado Alley, are very slim. But at the end of the day, with the prevailing direction that storms tend to go in, and if you're right there, you just have a better opportunity. I mean, that's why there are more storms in Oklahoma than there are in upstate New York, just because of where they are. And again, because of the sprawl kind of spreading out from places like Oklahoma City and Dallas and even places like St. Louis and Kansas City and every place else, more and more people are being exposed because you're spreading out more.
Now, I want to just touch quickly, too, we're coming into the end of the show here, on you had mentioned before the idea of, you know, to avoid the punch, don't be there.
Don't be there when it lands.
When it lands. I mean, for somebody like, we see these images in Oklahoma today with people whose houses have been destroyed for the second, third time. I mean, just any reason that you can think of why people would stay when there's all that activity happening there?
Well, you know, Americans, as we all know, are fiercely proud, and we're a parochial society. A lot of people tend to stay where they grew up, and that's fantastic. And I think a lot of people say, hey, you know, this is where I was born and raised. Maybe they're fourth generation there, and they say, I don't care about this weather. We're gonna endure it. Perhaps it's their faith that guides them through, or stubbornness, or whatever the case may be. And they say, you know what, we're not going to let nature deter us from being where we want to be, and we'll do the best that we can. I mean, hopefully they're saying this, we'll do the best that we can to protect ourselves in the future, be it, you know, make sure that you have a storm shelter or something like that. But you are exposed to more. I mean, just look at people that build houses on the coast.
Right.
You know, if you put a house out on the Outer Banks, chances are in the next however many years, you're going to have to deal with a hurricane. That's just the law of averages.
All right. Well, News Channel 13 meteorologist Jason Goff joining us on short notice today. And thanks so much, Jason, for coming in.
Oh, glad to do it.
Sharing your expertise with us once again. We are just about out of time. I'd like to thank everyone who called in and apologize to Rich and Sam. Sorry we couldn't get you on today. Just to note, you can, if the phones aren't ringing for you, always check in online at wamc.org/voxpop. Support for Vox Pop comes from Healthy Living Marketing Cafe, featuring the Divine Wine Store with wines from all over the world, with pairings, monthly tastings, and events, healthylivingmarket.com. Chesterwood, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, presenting their annual Vintage Motor Car Festival, live music, children's activities, and local foods, May 26th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., chesterwood.org. Subsidium Technologies, offering custom cloud connectivity, communications, and collaboration network services to clients globally, subsidiumtech.com, and Current Compliance Services LLC, Greenwich, New York. That's Greenwich, New York, providing legal and consulting services to life insurers in a changing regulatory climate, currentcompliance.com. And again, the conversation always continues online at wamc.org/voxpop, and you can tweet us at wamcvoxpop, and it's facebook.com/wamcradio. Thanks again for joining us today on Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Thanks to Bruce Herbach for answering the phones today. I'm Patrick Donges, filling in for our normal host, Ray Graff. Tomorrow, the Stamp and Coin Show returns to Vox Pop after some time off, and Ray Graff will also be returning. Stay tuned now for a news update.